Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM on a groundbreaking day in the NFL. And it certainly hit home here in Las Vegas with the Raiders. Carl Nassib, the Raiders defensive end, came out as gay today. He became the first active NFL player to do so. We applaud him. We support him. Just as so many people across the sports world, including his colleagues on the Raiders. And John Gruden sent me a text just a couple of minutes ago, basically said, he learned a long time ago that what makes a person different is what makes them great. And so he was obviously expressing support for Carl Nassib. And I expect that to continue for the most part. You're always going to have, people out there that that take a different approach, but that says more, way more about them than it does anybody else. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line, and Just Win Wendy is on the line. How are you doing, Just Win?
Hey, I'm great. I was just so excited when I saw that pop up just before your show came on, and I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. That's amazing, because I'm just so proud of our organization. I mean, a couple of years ago, Darren Waller came out and told his story, and then last year, Max Crosby told his story, and now this is happening, and, it's just the continuing message that Al Davis started of diversity and acceptance, and just be a great football player, or a coach, or whoever. But be who you are genuinely. And that truth, is gonna make our team even stronger.
I agree. And I think that, what's so, I think, refreshing and encouraging about the aftermath today is just the support that Carl is getting, and it's being expressed across all sports and media and his friends and, fans.
Yeah.
What I had mentioned earlier, and see if you agree with me, sometimes we worry so much and we beat ourselves up so much about getting something off of our chest, whatever it might be, because we're afraid of what the reaction might be, and only to let it out and find out that everyone's okay with it, and there was going to be support all along, and not, how beautiful must that be for Carl Nassib right now?
Oh, I know, but there is going to be, chatter, and like you said, there might be some stuff on Twitter. But, some of those might be other teams, other trolls from other teams that are trying to, bring divisiveness to us. But, there's a lot of Raider Nation who are LGBTQ. And so now they can, they're excited because they know we have the first guy that came out and actually said it, And there's coaches across the league who are lesbian and, so it's just like, I'm just very proud that it happened this month for Pride, and I'm not identifying, I'm an ally, but
right.
I'm just very, very proud about our organization again, and I'm just really, really looking forward to this year and this season when everybody can, truly be who they are.
Yeah, I completely agree. And
Derek always, when Derek came in the league, one of the first things he did was he started breaking the huddle by saying family. And I don't know who, that may have happened, you know, many times before, but I don't remember it. But I remember that he used to say that family, you know, it was like, that's how we break the huddle. And I think that's, you know, even more the spirit of what's going to go on here is that everybody, you know, fight hard, play hard, work hard, make plays, get the ball, and be who you are, you know?
I agree. And it just seems, you know, as I'm doing the show, I'm also doing my day job with the Las Vegas Review Journal. This is obviously, you know, a story like this happens, and you know, we have a responsibility, obviously, to cover it. But just looking through the Raiders' history of being all-inclusive, being the first to hire a black head coach in Art Shell, the first minority head coach, Tom Flores, won a Super Bowl with the Raiders. We all know Amy Trask, who they hired, you know, to lead the team's business side, you know, back in the day. So I guess, you know, maybe it's just was meant to be that it was going to be a Raider who broke this barrier, and by doing so, you know, maybe made it easier for the next person, you know, to do the same, and whoever follows after that. And so, you know, it's definitely a monumental day and a historic day. And I think what more than anything, just a really, really encouraging day. Really appreciate the call, just Win Wendy. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line and welcome in my teammate from over at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. You can get all of his work along with mine and everyone else who covers the Raiders over at VegasNation.com, or just download the app Vegas Nation. And of course, I'm talking about Sam Gordon. Sam, how are you doing, my friend?
What's up, Eddie? Doing well. Big day today. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, it was one of those days that you know, just as I was able to, you know, getting ready to get on air, Carl Nassib makes this, you know, monumental announcement. And, you know, as we've been talking about throughout the day, Sam, you know, in a subsequent letter that he wrote or message that he wrote on Instagram, you know, he talked about struggling over the last 15 years to do what he just did, right? And I don't know about you, Sam, but seeing the reaction from everybody so far and monumentally and you know, overwhelmingly, I should say, the support that he's gotten. And no doubt, you know, there's some negative stuff out there. You're always going to get that. But, you know, it just kind of shows you that probably what he was worried about and grappling with and struggling with most, it's got to be a great day for him to see how much support he's gotten for this and what a weight to be lifted off of his shoulder and understanding that there's way more acceptance than anything else.
Yeah, 100%, Vinny, 100%. First and foremost, this is about Carl Nassib. This is about his story and, you know, him sharing it with us. That's huge. Congratulations to him. But you're right. And I think, you know, we can both remember a day where this kind of reaction, where again, a lot of the stuff I've seen, be it through social media or just hearing or reading, like you said, has been overwhelmingly supportive. And, you know, it doesn't feel like we're too far removed from when that wouldn't be the case. And, you know, we still have a long way to go. I don't think that's any secret. We have a long way to go. But this is a step in the right direction in being more inclusive and being more supportive in having more representation. And, you know, this goes to show, again, that, you know, your sexuality or what people are interested in, it doesn't affect your ability to be a good person. It doesn't affect your ability to be a great football player. They have nothing to do with anything like that. So it's been great. I'm really happy for Carl. I'm really happy to see a lot of that reaction. And, you know, in his message, you know, he said, hopefully, you know, there will be a point that it doesn't require an announcement, and I'm with him 100%. Hopefully, this kind of breaks some ground, and moving forward, it doesn't have to be a national news story. It doesn't have to be a talking point. But for right now, we understand that it is, and that's huge. And with that in mind, you know, congratulations to Carl, and hopefully he continues to blaze trails for more and more people who understand that they can be themselves. And that, again, long way to go, but there is a space for acceptance, there is a space for inclusion, there is a space for diversity, and we need to do our part to continue to support that and make sure that's the case.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, when we talk about the support that's been shown for him, Sam, do you think it does, you know, help whoever might be next, or anybody else that's struggling, you know, with making a similar announcement, if you will? Do you think that it's going to help, and this will help, you know, maybe ease that burden moving forward?
For sure, for sure. I mean, not just with play, you know, professional athletes or football players or people in the NFL. I think just people in general, right? Like who have struggled with this or who are trying to figure out how to express something like this. I think we know how you know, hyper-masculine sports have been for the longest time, right? And not necessarily in a good way. I think there have been, you know, evidences of toxic cultures, and we're not strangers to that in our field. But the fact of the matter is that's starting to go away. Again, starting. And again, you can reach the pinnacle of your profession. You can be an incredibly great football player and a good person overall, and your sexuality doesn't matter. So the fact that he was able to do this, he was able to share this with the world, with football fans, with everybody, and the majority, like you said, overwhelmingly supportive, positive reaction, it means we're getting closer and closer to the point where this isn't a big deal. We can just love and accept people for who we are. I think in general, you know, again, there's still a lot of homophobia out there where there's no question about that, but it's think about 15, 20 years ago. It was a lot worse back then. I think, you know, just the past year, you know, year plus, it's been really, really tough in a lot of ways, in so many ways, the pandemic, with the racism, with all the kinds of things that we've seen. But, it's, believe it or not, we're in like the most inclusive point in human history, like the most accepting point ever. Like it was so much worse in the past, and it's getting better. And Carl Nassib is one of the reasons because it's going to continue to get better, because it takes an outrageous amount of courage to share what he shared today as a professional football player, as somebody who plays for the Las Vegas Raiders, to do what he did, and it didn't stop him. And here he is in the prime of his career, in the midst of an excellent, you know, what's been a very good career for him so far, in the midst of a lucrative contract, you know, sharing this message, sharing this sentiment at the pinnacle of his profession. And, you know, hopefully for whoever is going through whatever they're dealing with, that this makes things easier, that this paves the road so that the next person and the next person and the next person can have a little bit easier of a time. I mean, this needs to be normalized, right? And I think we're getting there, and it's continuing to happen, and, you know, he's part of it. So it's huge. Hats off to Carl Nassib, hats off to the Raiders, and everybody who's supporting him. It goes to show that we are making progress as a society, even though it feels really incremental at times and really, really slow, but we're getting there, because I don't think this would have been feasible, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, no question about it. We're talking to our good friend Sam Gordon and my colleague over at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Sam, as Carl Nassib is, you know, actually a very integral part of the Raiders' plans moving forward, especially on that rebuild defensive line, you know, and he's somebody that didn't have the year that the Raiders expected last year, signing him away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But if he can get back on track, Sam, and he has every capability of doing just that, you throw him in there with the mix now with Yannick Ngakoue and Max Crosby and Clelin Ferrell and Malcolm Kuntz and that rebuilt defensive line. This has, just watching it during OTAs and minicamp, it looked different. That group looks different. And we've talked about this before, and now having seen it in person, at least during minicamp and OTAs, this unit has a chance to really hold up its end of the bargain, and in the process, perhaps change the course of this Raiders defense.
Completely agree. And, you know, again, He did struggle last year, right? The 2.5 sacks were tied for a career low. But let's not forget, in 2018, 6.5 sacks, 2019, 6 sacks. And that was as a part-time starter, right? That was as a rotational defensive lineman, which is the role that we expect him to fill, or some kind of similar role to that this season. And all of a sudden, like you said, you look across that defensive line, it's big, it's strong, it's physical, it's fast, and it's deep. And you got you're 4, 5, 6, 7 deep with pass rushers, guys that you can keep fresh and not have to rely so much on a Carl Nassib, not have to rely so much on a Max Crosby in order to generate pressure. And I think that's crucial. I think that's important, Vinny, because as we know, over the course of 17 games, the NFL in so many ways is a war of attrition. And if you can keep guys fresh, I not only do I think that's going to help game in and game out just in terms of the quality of the pass rush, but you reduce chances of injury and you preserve guys for what's a really long season, for what's going to be 17-game season this year. So I'm with you. I think the defensive line, I mean, that is, you know, has went from a weakness, or has turned from a weakness into what I think is going to be one of the strengths of this defense in 2021. And if this defense is going to reach its full potential, and, you know, we don't know what that is yet. Of course, we have to see how things shake out in training camp and once we get into the regular season. But if this defense reaches its potential and plays like a top 12, top 14 unit this year, complementing that offense, the defensive line is going to be a part of that, and Carl Nassib is going to be a part of that. So this is a guy that was he got this big contract for a reason. He was a big-time player in Tampa Bay, not necessarily a Pro Bowl guy, but a key rotational defensive lineman that was capable of making game-changing plays. And you add Yannick Ngakoue and the complement of defensive linemen that they've added, along with the internal improvement, along with Gus Bradley, who we believe is going to optimize this defense and put guys in a position to be successful, maximize and utilize that depth. And I think you're looking at a much better unit. And you're right. There was a little different energy at minicamp, at OTAs this year. The things did look a little different. They felt a little different. And I expect them to be a lot different going into 2021 when the pads come on and when they get out there on the grass.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of which, especially on that defensive side of the ball, which to me looks deeper on the defensive line, much deeper in the secondary, but there's a key player in that secondary who there was a conspicuousness to Damon Arnette during OTAs that I detected on. Just watching him during practice, there was a lot of him observing rather than kind of participating. And I was wondering if they were like, look, take a look at it from this vantage point. Here's Casey Hayward, the veteran. Watch him. See how he does it. See how this defense is structured and the secondary is structured. But the more that time went on, and just the more talking to some people and observing and reading between the tea leaves, it sure seems like Damon Arnette, to be honest with you and be perfectly frank with you, Sam, has been put on notice a little bit. I don't think that, you know, and we've talked about this, hey, maybe you move Damon Arnette inside to the slot and let Casey Hayward, you know, man the outside spot where it appears he's more comfortable. I don't think that that's in the cards as of right now. I think there's some skepticism within the Raiders that Damon Arnette can successfully pull that position switch off. Where does that leave Damon Arnette? If Casey Hayward is the starter, we don't know yet. But it sure seems like maybe there's some lighting of a fire under Damon Arnette in some of the things that the Raiders have said, and also some of the things that they haven't said. Are you picking up on that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I am picking up on that, and it's, you know, it's tough situation that he's in. But the bottom line is, he didn't, you know, he was a first round pick last year, didn't necessarily perform like one, dealt with some injuries, but never really seemed to find his footing at the NFL level. And the Raiders, you know, went out. There was a reason they addressed depth in the secondary and with their cornerbacks. And you know, again, this is OTAs, this mini camp. Like, it's not necessarily the end-all, be-all. I'm sure he's going to have his opportunity to compete and to show what he can do a little bit more in training camp when things are a little bit more intensive and you have more time to evaluate. But it's a totally fair thing that he's put on notice. And to your point, Vinny, like, I thought that he was going to get his opportunity to play in the slot and to maybe earn some reps there. And that, like you said, it doesn't seem to be the case. And, you know, Gus Bradley talking about Nevin Lawson and Nate Hobbs as guys that have excelled there. So he's going to have to get it together and step his game up a little bit. And I want to be clear, you know, again, just because he's not necessarily playing well now, I don't think that necessarily is a referendum on his future with the Raiders. Maybe it is, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's one of these situations where Casey Hayward's a vet. He's brought in here, you know, on a short-term contract, and Damon Arnette sits back and learns and watches and observes for a year, and you see what you have in year three. Some guys' timelines are a little longer than others, but he was an older rookie, right? He was a 24-year-old rookie. He's going to be 25 this season. And frankly, that's, you know, kind of starting to enter his prime, even though he's just a second-year guy. So I think that's certainly an interesting development. It's going to be worth monitoring going into training camp. You never want to see I'm sure the team doesn't want to see, you know, somebody they invested a first-round pick in not getting reps and having to consider replacing him already at this point in his career. But if that's the case, then that's the case. And we'll see how things shake out in training camp. Certainly, again, not an ideal situation, but that's why you address depth in your secondary. That's why you go out there and get veteran players like a Casey Hayward, like, you know, Rasul Douglas, guys that have been there and done that and have experience in this league, and that's why you draft them for the secondary. So it's all about creating competition, and I think the cream is going to rise to the top, and we're going to see how that shakes out in training camp. But I certainly not the situation that they envisioned when they drafted Damon Arnette in the first round out of Ohio State.
Yep, absolutely. Last question for you, Sam. Derek Carr basically said, "Look, man, he pledged his dying devotion to the Raiders and said that if it came to it, he'd probably quit rather than go play for another team." I think if it ever came to that, Derek would go play for another team. But he basically, I think the point general point that he was making was that he really loves it here, loves it in Las Vegas, loves it playing for the Raiders. And what he expressed to me is, after everything that he's gone through with his organization, the thought and the possibility and the prospects of hoisting a Vince Lombardi trophy as the Raiders quarterback, for him, after everything that he's gone through, it wouldn't get any sweeter than that. The satisfaction would dwarf anything that he might experience elsewhere. But from your perspective, what did you make of what Derek had to say?
Yeah, I mean, again, to your point, it's just about kind of the ups and downs that he's been through, right? Coming in as a rookie, you know, the team having their struggles, kind of reaching the pinnacle of his career in 2016 when they win the AFC West and go 12-4, and you know he can't play in the playoffs, and now the rebuild and going through it with John Gruden, right? We've seen so many other quarterbacks around the league and have read so many stories about guys, you know, looking at changes of scenery and trying to put pressure on the organization. And maybe part of that is Derek, you know, lobbying for an extension, right? Making it clear that he wants to be here and wants to get taken care of, because there is going to come a point where the Raiders and Derek Carr are going to need to figure something out, or the Raiders are going to have to figure something out. But this is a really good quarterback, and he certainly, you know, he's had his fair share of struggles at times, but more often than not, he's been really reliable, at least with his play. And, of course, last season I thought he was very, very good. Played like a top 10 quarterback. And, you know, when you break it down, there's only 10 quarterbacks in the top 10. If you have one, I think it would be wise to keep him. And this offense has shown that it can put up points with him at quarterback, that it can be one of the better offenses in the league. You get him a little bit of help. You get him a little bit of support. And we saw at times at the flashes, certainly early, especially early on in the season, the middle part of the season, how explosive that offense can be with him at the helm. So, it's a signal of his devotion to the Raiders that he wants to be here long term, and now it's the time to figure out a way to make things happen. And I imagine if the Raiders have the year that they want to have, you know, where they contend for the playoffs, possibly make the playoffs in some capacity, whether that's a wild card berth, whether something happens, whether there's injuries or something, and they end up winning the AFC West, we'll see. That remains to be seen. But he wants to be in the silver and black. And with all the quarterbacks who want changes of scenery, you know, Aaron Rodgers, the rumors about Russell Wilson, we know about the Deshaun Watson situation, at least as it pertains to football. I think it has to be satisfying for the Raiders knowing that they have a guy who's a really good player that wants to be there long term and that wants to stick things out. So we'll see how it shakes out, but he is, in my opinion, he's the least of their worries based on what we saw from him last year. They can go into 2021 knowing that they have a guy that wants to be there, a guy that's entering the prime of his career, that's in the prime of his career, and a guy that's played at a really high level more often than not.
Absolutely. Sam, thank you so much for spending some time with us in the huddle on a historic day here in Las Vegas and with the Raiders. Really appreciate it. I know you're going to be taking some much-deserved time off, so please be safe and enjoy it, and we'll talk to you down the road, my good friend.
All right, anytime, Vinny. I appreciate it, man. Talk soon. Later.
You got it. Take care, man. That was Sam Gordon from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Monday. Just got off the phone with the Raiders owner Mark Davis, talking about Carl Nassib and his becoming the first active NFL player to announce that he is gay. And Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, is like, hey, man, it's 2021. Not a big deal. You know, like, doesn't change anything about how we feel about Carl Nassib, how we look at Carl Nassib. It's 2021. And basically, he was saying, can we get past anything of making it, you know, not normal, you know, somebody's sexuality and somebody's, you know, choices in that regard. It's not a big deal. Obviously, he acknowledges it's a big deal that he made the announcement. He totally understands that. But what his whole point is, it shouldn't be. We should have moved past this a long time ago. And I completely agree. And, you know, he supports, obviously, Carl Nassib and his decision and his mind. Who cares? You know, like, not a big deal in terms of the reaction, not of his announcement, but the reaction to it and how it changes anything, which it changes nothing. Carl Nassib is a good football player. I think Carl Nassib is in line to have a bounce back season. And really all he needs to do is get to the 6-7 sacks that he's fully capable of doing, 5-6-7 sacks. And he's going to be an asset in that rebuilt defensive line. So again, you know, the Raiders, supportive as have been so many people across the board. I told you, I got the text from John Gruden, you know, what he's learned a long time ago, that what makes somebody different is what makes them great. So obviously he supports Carl Nassib. And, you know, I think the important thing is, like, he made the announcement, you know, to the extent that he struggled to make it for these last 15 years, as he wrote on Instagram, is understandable given kind of the nature of things or how things have been in the past. But as Mark Davis said, it's 2021. We should be moving past that stigma or that worry. And hopefully that's a strong message and an encouraging message to anyone else out there who might be struggling, you know, within that same type of situation. There's support here for you. I know it from my own vantage point. A very, very close, you know, relative of mine. And it was so, you know, funny, because I found out about it on, of all places, Facebook. You know, he posts a picture with his partner, and I happened to be scrolling on Facebook one day, and boom, I saw it. You know, and I texted him, I go, is there something you want to say? And we just laughed about it. So, okay, cool. Hey, so are you going to the game next week or what? You know, and everybody moved on within the blink of an eye. It wasn't that big of a deal. And you know, you know, but I know that it was, right? It was. It was, because there's that worry, that there's that concern, there's that anxiety of how am I going to be treated? How am I going to be accepted? Is this going to change not me, but everyone around me? And what really appears to be so encouraging is the support that Carl Nassib is getting, and it's not a surprise to me. And I think that we are moving in the right direction for all of our flaws and issues as a world, as a planet, as a country. Sometimes, I think, you know, there's more in common among us than we probably think, you know. And and for somebody like Carl, I'm sure he's aware, especially now, after, you know, coming out with his announcement, that every one of us, I can't think of anybody, come on, that, you know, you're a family member, a close friend, an associate, a colleague, probably many, many more times that, multiply it, you know. So we need to get past that. This is a groundbreaking day. It is, you know, on June 21st, 2021, without doubt, it's a groundbreaking day. But here's hoping that this doesn't, you know, it ceases to become groundbreaking, and it's just as natural as anything else. As Bob Marley said, you know, when the significance of somebody's skin color is no different than their eye color, that's where we need to get to. And along the same lines for anything else, you know, that anybody is, you know, That's how it needs to be embraced and accepted and viewed. So, but all that said, it's just such an interesting week winding up minicamp over the week. The Raiders concluded their 8-week offseason program on Wednesday. It was a very spirited, well-attended 8 weeks. Remember the vote? the Raiders vote that said, you know, oh no, we're not going to be participating in the in-person OTAs, wink wink. There you go, players union, we're doing what you asked us to do. But behind the scenes, like, yeah, we're going to be out there, we're going to be practicing. And from the Raiders perspective, there's many issues going on. Number one, they didn't like what happened last year. They don't like what's happened the last 2 years. They don't like opening up Twitter and seeing things said about him, like, why'd you collapse? Why'd you, fall again, and hearing the negative things that you see in that kind of situation, they want to clean that up. They don't want to be part of that anymore. They want to move forward. And you do that, as Derek Carr told me, he's like, Vinny, how do you get better as a team without putting the time in? It doesn't make any sense. It's like counterintuitive. Yeah, it's voluntary, but we're all here for a reason. We're all trying to get better. And so, and for some specific veterans who have a track record of producing and showing up and being available and being productive, there's concessions that can be made for guys like that. There's an understanding, and talking to the Raiders, it was never a problem that Unique Ngakoue or Josh Jacobs or Quentin Jefferson were kind of doing their own thing, and said, hey, we'll be there when the mandatory camp comes out or comes about. Coach, you understand, you know me, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm going to show up ready to go. I got my own program that I feel good about. We'll be doing all the Zooms and everything like that. But in terms of, working out and stuff, I'm doing something that I think is good. And John Gruden was like, do you, I know that you're going to be okay. That's the difference between somebody like that who has a track record, who's put in the time previously and proven themselves and, reached a level of success and dependability and created a level of confidence among their peers and their colleagues and their coaching staff that, yeah, it's cool. If that's what you want to do, we get it. Just show up when the mandatories come around. And that's exactly what happened. But not everybody is in that category, and you have to be realistic about that as a player. And it just seems like when you're talking about 95% participation during OTAs this year, it sure looks like that was definitely the case for the Raiders. They understood, look, we want to get better, we want to break through, we want to push forward. Last year left a really bad taste in the mouth. I want to change that. And so watching the work that they put in, and I could say this, and this is what's so cool about covering a team sometimes, or being around a team, whatever the sport might be. In baseball, you show up the first day at training camp or spring training, that team, what they look like, how they look, looks decidedly different than the one that breaks camp and heads up north to play the season. You see it as somebody that's watching it day after day. Well, and I made this comment to some people just over this weekend. Like, the progress that I saw from day one in OTAs to Wednesday when they concluded it with the second day of minicamp, the progress was noticeable. You can see it. Guys were in a little bit better shape. And, people ask me all the time, you're a professional athlete, shouldn't you be in shape? Yeah, for the most part, these guys are in great shape. But there's great shape. And there's like unbelievably good shape that's NFL professional sports, shape. And it might just be very subtle, but it's noticeable at that level because that's how in shape these guys really are. But beyond that, just even the personal drills that guys were doing, some of the work that the DBs were getting and the wide receivers, their routes, their this, their that, you saw it improve from day one to Wednesday when they wrapped up minicamp. The same thing presumably should happen when training camp opens on July 27th. And by the time it wraps up and the Raiders take the field against the Baltimore Ravens on September 13th, Monday night, still glad to get fired up just saying that, Monday night football to open the season, Allegiant Stadium, the Baltimore Ravens, hello. We'll see what they look like at that point. But there's like signposts that you pass along the way of the journey, and they crossed an important one getting through that off-season program and looking different by the time they did compared to when they started. It's really cool to see that kind of unfold. I see that all the time, whatever, covering the Dodgers, the Rams, and it's often said, it's not a cliche, wins happen, losses happen in October and November and September, but teams are built, foundations are created here during this offseason. And you can really see that with the Raiders. And it was pretty encouraging, I would say. That's the message that I would pass along to Raider Nation is that you have a right to be encouraged. And I believe like there's confidence that's growing in that building. Couple things happened last year in spite of the bad defense, you know, where, you know, the Raiders beating the Chiefs in Kansas City and then almost beating them and probably should have beat them, you know, at Allegiant Stadium in the rematch. It was a last minute, less than a minute or so touchdown pass that that Patrick Mahomes threw to win the game late in that game on a on just a big mistake by Jonathan Abram. But even in that loss, and you couple it with the win in Kansas City earlier in that season, I mean, that stands for something. The Raiders were the only team last year to beat the Kansas City Chiefs when the Kansas City Chiefs were full bore, right? They were the only team to do that. The Chargers team, when the Chargers beat the Chiefs late in the season, the Chiefs were resting all their players. By the time the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat them, they were down there they're starting two tackles, which made a huge difference. The Raiders beat the Chiefs when the Chiefs were at full strength, and later on in the rematch, they almost beat a fully loaded Chiefs team again. Should have beaten them. Don't tell me, and I know this for a fact, that the Raiders in their head are like, you know, we can compete with that team now. We can compete with that team. They got to go out there and do it, but that's a confidence booster right there. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
We're back in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore. This is Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Monday. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. We have a big Monday out of just. You know, you never know, right? And what's going to unfold throughout the course of the day. But obviously, Carl Nassib, the Raiders defensive end, came out today on Instagram and became the first active NFL player to openly come out as gay. And, you know, in a statement that Carl wrote on Instagram subsequent to putting out a video, you know, he said that it was a decision that he had struggled with for the last 15 years. And I think we all understand why, and we all, you know, wish it wasn't like that. It shouldn't be like that. You know, I'm talking to Mark Davis just a little while ago, the Raiders owner, during one of the breaks. He's like, hey man, it's 2021. Can we get past that? This is something that, you know, should be a big deal. Obviously Mark Davis understands that it is a big deal. He's the first player to come out, as gay, Carl Nassib is. And, hopefully that's going to, make it easier for anyone else who might be in that situation and is struggling to come forward for whatever anxiety, fear, embarrassment, whatever it might be. Kind of that fear of the unknown, the fear that the worst might happen. When in reality, for the most part, you know, it's just been support for Carl Nassib, and hopefully there's, whether it's a NFL player or you know, somebody sitting in a classroom right now struggling with that kind of a decision and that kind of weight and pressure, thinking the worst could result, hopefully the reaction that is generally happening across social media and the sports world for Carl Nassib's decision becomes something that helps others and eases their concerns. Because as I said earlier, we all deserve the right to live our life on our terms. Whoever we are, whatever our preferences are, you know, religiously, sexually, whatever the case might be, everyone deserves the right to live their life in peace without repercussions, without worrying what other people are going to say or are going to think, and maybe even hiding something and suppressing something as a result. And in doing so, aren't able to live a complete life, a complete, truthful, honest, free life. Imagine that.
Yeah, Vinny, I think that's very important what you say there, because along with his announcement is that $100,000 donation to the Trevor Project, and it's an organization that is basically in LGBTQ prevention suicide for teens. And I think what you say is like, it's when it does come a day where this doesn't matter, but we need for the Carl Nassibs to have these days, so it doesn't become a day. So it's not so much of a big deal later, but we do need for these days to happen so that, like you said, like that kid can see this now. And it's like, you know, he may be saving a kid right now, Carl Nassib saying this and making that decision. So where it's like, hey, it's like, I can play football, I can do what I want, I can live a very successful life. I think that's another part of like this announcement. That's now, I'm not saying getting like thrown, it's great for Carl Nassib. I'm sure he would have been content. I know he was struggling with this for 15 years, but I think that it's so good that he was able to make this announcement for like the kids, the youth that can now be able to look up to Carl Nassib as a hero.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that he understands that. And I think that that's probably above all else, you know, kind of what ultimately, you know, led him to go ahead and do this, understanding like, hey, the power that he could have to help somebody else. You know, once he was comfortable with it, on his own terms, also understanding like, you know, I'm kind of in a position here where this can really help. And I really believe that that is the case, that's going to happen, you know, and cause you know, you hear about that Trevor Project and it's just heartbreaking that we have to have something along those lines. And it is prevalent, you know, suicide among that community, is prevalent, and it shouldn't be. It's heartbreaking. And so hopefully, like you said, Damon, hopefully the courage that Carl expressed today, coming out, and then really honestly, the more importantly, the reaction to it, the positive reaction to it, will hopefully you know, truly inspire somebody and ease somebody else's concerns, so that they can go ahead and, you know, take the weight off their own shoulders and be able to go live the life that they deserve to live, because we all truly do deserve to live our lives free of judgment, of criticism, of pressure. Nobody needs to have to hide something and suppress something that's a vitally important part of who they are, because they're worried that somebody is not going to accept them, or somebody is going to reject them, or even worse, you know. And I just, it's like Mark Davis said, and it was very simple, but it was very poignant. It's 2021. Like, what are we thinking here? This should be fine. This should not be a big headline, and it shouldn't. And I'm hoping that it's going to get to a point where it's not, where that's just, you know, it's of no more significance than the color of your eyes. You know, why we shouldn't care. Nobody should care. It's your private business anyway. Doesn't make you any less, any more, any anything, you know. It just makes you who you are, truthfully and honestly, and that's the freedom now that Carl Nassib has to be able to walk the remainder of his life free and being who he is on his terms. And you know, for the people that are close to him, it sounds like there's been, you know, universal acceptance, and obviously that's great for him. For the people that aren't, you know, I mean, you have your lives to live, and it sounds to me like if you have any kind of a problem with this, you just generally speaking have a problem, you know, have a big problem, and that's something for you to address, and you need to come to terms with yourself and your hatred and ignorance, honestly, you know? And so that's just kind of the way it is. I hate to be all harsh about it, but, you know, again, we wish, Carl Nassib, all the best. And I know that this is going to be a not turbulent next few days, but probably a busy first few days. I know I already, you know, as soon as I get off the air, I got to wrap up a story. I've got a TV hit. I've got a going to go on NFL radio a little bit later to talk about this. So I'm, you know, I'm getting hit up left and right as part of the reaction to this story. And I'm sure Carl Nassib, obviously, he's going to get tugged in a lot of different directions. But it's very, very important to him and encouraging to me that there's been just genuine support for him by from all fronts. You know, texting with John Gruden just a little while ago and getting his coaches, you know, support. Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, his some of his teammates have come out, the organization have come out, some other people that I've talked to within the organization. So again, I'm glad for Carl Nassib that, you know, everything that he was struggling with, and again, we're probably right up to the moment that he hit live on Instagram. Is that how you do it on Instagram? I'm not.
No, he didn't go live. He recorded it.
He recorded it. Okay, yes. Whatever. But I think you have to hit. What do? You hit a record button, and you know, it came off, you know, wonderfully. I mean, he was poised, and I think that the reaction to it kind of is part and parcel with how he delivered it. It's just no big deal, you know. It just came out of his mouth and easily and. You know, matter of factly, and this is who I am. And there we go. And let's all move on with our lives. And now, thankfully, Carl Nassib is going to be able to live his life honestly on his terms, free. And we all deserve that ride. Just want to say thanks to all of the callers. I really appreciate it. I want to say thanks to Sam Gordon, my colleague over at the Las Vegas Review Journal, for sharing some time with us. He is on his way to vacation. I want to say thanks to Devon Cotton for making us sound great and doing everything that he always does. Really appreciate that. I want to say thanks to Embajador Tequila. Always appreciate the support. We're going to be back at it tomorrow. I'm sure we'll continue to talk about Carl Nassib and his historic announcement today, but also moving forward on some key position battles. You know, the Raiders signed Trayvon Morig today, their second-round pick from TCU. But as I wrote today, who wins that starting free safety job? I think both he and Tyree Gillespie, his fellow rookie, are going to make impacts this year and get time. But it sure will be interesting to see who wins that job. Until tomorrow, we appreciate the support. Thank you so much. We'll be back at it tomorrow. You're in the huddle. Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.